I want to thank the Lord for his way of doing things, because he is so different. And he does things differently than what you and I would do. And today, he kind of tested me. And he said, "Will you trust me?" Absolutely. I have no choice, Lord, because when I don't, I get in trouble. So I want to take you back to another level, to the book of Hebrews. And the new covenant that God has created is going to bring forth something awesome in his revelation to his people. So I want to take you to chapter 10 and to kind of give you a little bit of the new order. Now, if you study chapter 9, you'll see the new order and what the blood of Christ has done. But then, he wants us to recognize that Christ came into the world and he said a lot of things, but we don't always comprehend it. We kind of skip over it. So I'm going to take you to verse 5. "Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased.'" In other words, the old covenant was not good enough. "Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God.'" There's been a new movie that's coming out, and it's called The Young Messiah. And I would like to take my 9-year-old to see that. But I saw the religious spirit bounce right out, because the interview was one of the directors pointing out that they interviewed hundreds and hundreds of young men to find the right man or the right young man to play this particular role. And he said, it's called PG-13, but most children can handle what it is because it's got a little bit of violence in it. So I heard a few comments, and they went like this. "How do they know what Jesus was like when he was 5 and 6 and 9 and 8? The only record we have is when he was 12. And I found my mouth opening. Did you ever notice your mouth just opens? And out of my mouth came, every young boy with a Jewish background and a Jewish mom and dad would have certain rules and regulations from the beginning of their coming into the young adulthood. Every single day they would have certain rituals they had to do. Every year they had to show up in Jerusalem. It was all a part of growing up as a young boy in a Jewish family in Israel 2,000 years ago. So I said, there is no doubt in my heart that if they drew from the Jewish tradition what a young boy goes through, you've got a great picture of what Jesus was like and what he did and how he did it. Now, I'm sure there's going to be some fiction in it. But I'm not worried about the fiction. What I am interested in is to see the kids and their reactions to a young boy that now gets a revelation that he's not a normal young boy. That he has a job to do for his father. The first statement he makes at 12 did not come at 12. The first time I was out of my body, I was 11. I didn't dare talk about it for 30 years. Why? Because I was afraid I was going to be criticized and condemned. Listen again. sacrifices and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. Who is speaking here? Who is the one that has a body that's been prepared by God? Of course. First, he said, sacrifices and offerings, verse 8. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made. That's in parentheses. Then he said, here I am, I have come to do your will. He set aside the first to establish the second. And by that will we have been made holy. Through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ, once and for all, made holy by one sacrifice of his body. That's my notes. That's my version, so I can understand it. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifice which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. Because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. I know I've given you this before. I've got so many notes, but I had a sense that you need to be aware that you've been sanctified. You are sanctified. He's not done with you yet. But take a good look at verse 15. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, 16, this is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds, not on a piece of stone. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember part-time. Oh, your Bible says no more? How about your brain? Does your brain say part-time?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. What's got to go? The part-time's got to go. Because when you're on a part-time basis, you're constantly in guilt. And when you are filled with guilt, you will never receive the promises of Christ. You'll never get your healing. You'll never get your deliverance. So you need to declare that the covenant that he has made with us is his laws of love are in my heart. Amen? Try it on. Say, his laws of love are in my heart. They've been written in my mind. It's not for some other generation. It's for me. It's for now. It's for today. And he doesn't remember my sins. So why should I remind myself of all my sins? Ah! How many felt some churning at that point there? Yeah. When I'm focused on my sin, what happens to me? I get depressed. If I'm focused on my victory and the victory that Christ paid for me as the high priest that did it all well and gave up his body to pay for me, why should I be competing trying to pay for myself? And that's what religion does. Religion says you pay the price. You do good and you'll get a nice little bonus. You do bad, you'll get corrected. You'll get a kick in the right place so that you'll remember not to do it again. And I know that's what religion does because that's what I was taught. I could go on to verse 18, but I have a sense that you need to kind of look at this again and look at it when you're quiet before him and let the Holy Spirit take it deeper. Because that little message can change your entire future. Recognizing what he's done, acknowledging it as truth. Don't worry, she's fine, dear. If she's not disturbing me, she's so cute. Amen? And she's got a nice little toy there, right? So, you know, when you are so used to condemning yourself and finding fault with yourself, you almost do it ritualistically. What's it got to do? It's got to be stopped, right? I didn't obey it before, but I'm going to do it now because the Lord kept saying that this needed to be here. Let the fire flow. Amen? Let the fire flow. Now lift your hands to him. Say, tonight, Lord, if my Father doesn't remember my sins, I need your help. I don't want to be focused on him anymore. I don't want to be focused on the guilt or the condemnation. Jesus carried it all on the tree for me. Why should I be competing? With the perfect sacrifice. Jesus, you did it all. You laid that body that the Father gave to you so that you could give us sanctification and salvation in spirit, soul, and body, and being made holy is already in process. That's my future. For God's glory. Amen? And amen. And that's based on that basic same scripture there from 5 to 18. And so that priesthood was confirmed tonight. And are we priests by activity, or are we priests by his choice? Amen. So your priesthood, when you go on your knees, young lady, he goes with you. See, don't take it light when you get a message of this type. When you go home as pillars, what does that mean? What are you holding up? Huh? Yeah. And you're holding up the covering. Pillars have roofs. And they're there for a purpose. So, many times when I see you obedient to carry out what you need to be doing, I want to honor you with your obedience. You say, well, you know, I don't get that much. Susan, you have no clue how awesome you are.
Amen.
And one of these days, you're going to look back, like in about 5 years from now, and you're going to say, you know what? Now I get it. Amen. Now, I'm not teasing about, it takes time to develop your spiritual understanding.
Amen.
It took me time. And I remember Gino would kind of tease me and say, when are you going to develop those spiritual senses? And I'll be honest with you, he prodded me. You know, like a cattle prod? Yeah, I'm serious. And when I was able to declare for the first time to him that I had left my body at 11, it's because he had shared his experience when he was a boy. And the same thing happened to him. So when he had courage to open up, it gave me courage to open up. Because I figured, well, if they're laughing at the pastor, they can laugh at me too.
Close your eyes now. Say, Lord Jesus, whatever you've got planned for my maturity, I'm ready. Ready or not, I'm ready. Because my spirit is ready. My soul might have an argument. Amen?
Amen.
Share some hearts with each other.